This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Supreme Court battle has begun. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, March 17. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Obama has named an appellate court judge to replace the late Antonin Scalia. Will Senate Republicans change their mind and actually hold confirmation hearings?
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has a warning if he doesn't win the GOP nomination before the party's convention in July.
The 64-team field for the NCAA tournament is set. First game to tip off today is Duke versus UNC Wilmington at 12:15 Eastern.
Go Seahawks. But I got them in that game. Not because I dislike Duke. I picked them in that game.
No, you didn't.
UNC Wilmington to win over the 4-seed Duke.
All right.
Right here. And the number of Americans who don't sleep well at night because they're thinking about work.
44% of American workers say they have lost sleep because they were worrying about work. For a lot of them, this happens at least once a week. So they're tossing and turning, thinking, oh, did I finish that project? Did I get this done? That is pretty high. Some surveys have found it a little bit even higher.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on work stress impacting our sleep and what we can do about it. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Obama has chosen a man named Merrick Garland for the U.S. Supreme Court. Mr. Garland, who's 63, currently serves as Chief Judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit and has won praise from both Republicans and Democrats in the past. He's also a native Chicagoan, like President Obama.
A life of public service is as much a gift to the person who serves as it is to those he is serving. And for me, there could be no higher public service than serving as a member of the United States Supreme Court.
Judge Garland would replace long-serving conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, who died last month. But here's the issue. The Republican-led Senate has said it will not hold confirmation hearings because GOP leaders feel Mr. Obama should not be putting members on the Supreme Court during his final year in office. Justice Scalia's death left the Supreme Court evenly split with 4 liberals and 4 conservatives. Mr. Garland is widely viewed as a moderate. He's a former prosecutor who served in the Justice Department under former President Clinton. Republicans, like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, are hoping a candidate from their party wins the election in November and want the next president to make this Supreme Court selection.
The Senate will appropriately revisit the matter when it considers the qualifications of the nominee the next president nominates. Whoever that might be.
Right now, the GOP frontrunner is Donald Trump. Meanwhile, the Republican National Committee has formed a task force that'll work on attack ads and other ways of pushing back against President Obama's choice. More now on Mr. Garland from Julia Edwards, justice correspondent at Reuters. Julia, what do we know about him?
So we know that Merrick Garland was probably the most experienced of all of the judges that the president was looking at. He serves as the chief on the D.C. appellate court, and he is 63, which puts him in a little bit of an older category of what some would consider an ideal pick. When you are picking your next Supreme Court nominee, you generally want someone who's going to be there for a long time since they serve for life. But as the president said, his record, particularly his record getting bipartisan support to his previous positions really puts him in a position to kind of pose to Republicans, look, why are you blocking the nomination of someone who you may even approve if it came from a Republican president?
Right. So what kind of Republican support has he gotten in the past?
We know that Orrin Hatch, who has been obviously never left his position as a conservative, we know he's gotten support from him. And that we know that when he was nominated to his position on the on the D.C. circuit that he got overwhelming bipartisan support. Another thing the president said today is that in meetings he has with Democratic and Republican senators, he often just throws out the idea, who would you like to see nominated to the Supreme Court should that opportunity arise, and that he, the name that always comes up is Merrick Garland. So he's using that, obviously, to show that Republicans here would just be opposing himself, Obama, rather than his nominee, Merrick Garland.
Got it. So Mr. Garland's age, which you mentioned before, he's 63. In some ways, is that President Obama kind of conceding that he's not going to get passed through the Senate or even considered?
Yeah, I don't know. It's also funny, too. I think a lot of 63-year-olds today are throwing up their hands saying, wait, I'm not that old. Don't count me out. But I do think that, there's something he wants to look at here, and that's experience. He doesn't want anything in this nominee's past to count against him or her. So he went with someone who had this kind of experience. But, I have been talking to some people who were a little surprised by this nomination. A lot of people thought it would be Sri Srivastavan, who tends to carry a little more weight among these liberal outside circles who generally have a lot of influence in these decisions. Merrick Garland is not opposed by them, of course. They won an Obama nominee, but he doesn't fire up that liberal base like we've seen in past nominations.
Well, we're speaking with Julia Edwards, justice correspondent at Reuters, and we're talking about President Obama's nomination of Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. Have there been certain rulings that somebody like Senator Orrin Hatch liked in the past? Do we know that?
Yeah, I think that people like, his experience even before he got to the bench, his experience where he prosecuted the Oklahoma City bomber, when he worked with families there to make sure that they were served justice. And ruling that some may be looking at, you can decide whether this is on the right or left of this, but he's definitely not afraid to rule against the federal government. And in 2013, he ruled as part of a three-judge panel against the CIA and its bid to keep documents secret concerning the use of armed drones. And in 2008, he also wrote with another panel that when the court ruled in favor of a detainee that was held in Guantanamo Bay. So he's definitely held some positions that, that ruling for the release of a detainee in Guantanamo Bay may gather some support among Democrats, especially as they seek to close the prison there. But then some Republicans, as we know, there's definitely a libertarian wing of the party, may like to see that he did not let the CIA keep their secrecy in that case.
Thanks, Julia. Julia Edwards, justice correspondent at Reuters. By the way, in an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today, Juanita Duggan, president and CEO of the National Federation of Independent Business, says her group believes that Judge Garland would be a strong ally of the regulatory bureaucracy, big labor, and trial lawyers. The NFIB opposes Judge Garland's confirmation. She writes, quote, "What worries us is that Judge Garland has been consistently wrong on labor law. In fact, in 16 major labor decisions of Judge Garland's that we examined, he ruled 16-0 in favor of the NLRB." Again, an opinion piece from the National Federation of Independent Business in the Wall Street Journal today. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, a warning from Donald Trump. Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday Eve. Another day, another story of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump dominating the news cycle. Yesterday, he warned that his supporters would respond with riots if he fails to secure the nomination at the GOP convention this July in Cleveland. Mr. Trump's words come as escalating protests from left-wing activists, heated responses from his supporters, and increasing tensions within the GOP over his candidacy are raising fears that the convention could devolve into chaos. He was on CNN.
I don't think you can say that we don't get it automatically. I think you'd have riots. I'm representing a tremendous, many, many millions of people.
Meanwhile, NBC News says Cleveland is reportedly working to procure 2,000 sets of riot gear for its officers. As Mr. Trump has indicated, there's a very real possibility he might lose the nomination if he wins only a plurality of delegates, thanks to party rules that allow delegates to support different candidates after the initial ballot. Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich are his current Republican competitors.
The Washington, D.C. subway system will be open today after a 29-hour shutdown. It was closed yesterday for emergency inspections of 600 power cables and after repairs of at least 26 of them that were frayed and damaged. The suspension of service yesterday on the busy Metro Rail left hundreds of thousands of commuters, visitors, and residents of the greater Washington, D.C. area scrambling to figure out how to get around. Metro Board Chairman Jack Evans apologized for the inconvenience, but said nobody in good conscience could send those trains out knowing the risks.
I hope this is a wake-up call for the entire region, for the district, for Virginia, for Maryland, and for the federal government.
Frayed power cables are believed to have been the cause of a fire on the tracks early Monday and of an emergency in January 2015. When smoke filled a metro tunnel, dozens of passengers were sickened and one woman died. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Obama's Supreme Court Justice nominee Merrick Garland will meet with Democrats on Capitol Hill today. But some Republicans are not changing their no hearing, no vote, not even a meeting stance. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he won't be holding a perfunctory meeting, but wishes Garland well.
The Senate will appropriately revisit the matter when it considers the qualifications of the nominee the next president nominates, whoever that might be.
But fellow Republican Charles Grassley, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says he's open to meeting with Garland in the coming weeks. Michigan's governor heads to Capitol Hill today to testify at a House hearing about the Flint water crisis. In prepared testimony, Governor Rick Snyder says he didn't learn that Flint's water was contaminated with lead until nearly 18 months after the city began drawing its water from the Flint River in April 2014. Today's hearing is the second of two Flint-related sessions the oversight panel is conducting this week. Donald Trump says his supporters would riot if he were denied the Republican nomination despite winning the popular vote. He made the comments on CNN.
I don't think you can say that we don't get it automatically. I think you'd have riots. You know, I'm representing a tremendous, many millions of people.
Some Republicans have signaled that they would be open to a brokered convention where party officials, not voters, would choose the nominee. That would only take place if Trump falls short of the 1,237 delegates needed to secure the nomination. The Federal Reserve is keeping a key interest rate unchanged in light of global pressures that risk slowing the U.S. economy. Fed officials expect to raise rates more gradually this year than they had envisioned in December. The officials now foresee two rather than four modest increases in rates during 2016. One year it was Butler, another Florida Gulf Coast. Which mid-major will surprise at this year's NCAA tournament? South Dakota State? Stony Brook? Maybe Holy Cross. The Crusaders beat Southern in a play-in game last night to advance with a record of 15-19.
Come on with this. Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, I got my final four. Did you pick your final four?
I did.
I got Maryland, Baylor, West Virginia, Utah, with Baylor beating West Virginia in the final. I went completely off the rails.
You did last year. You went off the rails, too.
I don't remember what I did last year, though.
You had a bizarre pick that made it very far, but I've got Michigan State beating Oklahoma in the championship.
Okay. Like that Buddy Hield. Is that what his name is?
He's awesome.
Superstar, right? Mm-hmm. 24 minutes after the hour. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by TIAA Cref. TIAA. Discover what makes us a different kind of financial partner at the new TIAA.org. If stress from work is keeping you up at night, you're part of a large percentage of American workers. More from MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Katie, how bad is it?
44% of American workers say they have lost sleep because they were worrying about work. For a lot of them, this happens at least once a week. So they're tossing and turning, thinking, oh, did I finish that project? Did I get this done? That is pretty high. Some surveys have found it a little bit even higher. So, yeah, we got a problem here. We're all very stressed about work, and it's disrupting our sleep.
Wow, that's a high number. Is that, I don't know, is that the way it's always been, or is it worse these days? Is there any way to measure that?
This was the first time they did that survey, and there's no way to look at it over time. But what I spoke to a bunch of psychologists and some workplace consultants, and most people think that it is getting worse over time. This one company who administers wellness benefits said they have seen cases related to employee stress jump up 28% over the past 3 years. And a lot of the people I spoke to said, well, yeah, I mean, even though, you know, the job market is getting better, a lot of people are still doing the job of two people. It's stressing them out, and people are just still burned from, you know, the recession and feel like, am I going to get laid off? Is this going to happen? It's like that scars just haven't really healed, and so people are just worried and paranoid and working a lot. And another thing, of course, is technology, right? You never get to disconnect from work. You have your phone with you, and you check your email all the time, right up until bed. So, of course, you're not unwinding ever. I mean, it's someone quoted said to me, the 9-to-5 has become 24/7, and they're right.
Yeah, that's true. Because when you see that email come over, you're thinking, well, I should probably be the first to respond, right? Maybe you're the manager. I don't know. Maybe you're trying to look good or something like that, right? It never ends.
It never, whether you're the manager, whether you're trying to look good, but yeah, you want to be the person that's always available and, you know, that really looks good. And then you never, ever get to unwind.
All right. Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the 9 to 5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. You need to use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's quick and easy. You'll even save money with Stamps.com, too. It's just a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Plus, you'll get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, March 17. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Appellate Judge Merrick Garland nominated for the Supreme Court. Trump is warning of riots. The D.C. metro system reopens. Michigan's governor testifies before Congress today about the water crisis in Flint. The NCAA tournament tips off this afternoon. I've got Maryland, Baylor, West Virginia, and Utah in the Final Four, and I feel real good about it. TMZ says wrestling legend Sting is not coming back. Can't recover from a neck injury from back in September. And the California guy who will tackle Mount Everest without extra oxygen. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, under normal circumstances, Republican experts on world affairs would be lining up behind the front runner for their party's presidential nomination, eagerly claiming the title of, quote, official advisor, and jockeying with rivals for top jobs should the candidate triumph in November. But as Olivier Knox at Yahoo News reports, the 2016 race for the White House is many things, but normal circumstances, it is not, especially when it comes to front runner Donald Trump and his lack of foreign policy advisors. Olivier, seems you were on a wild goose chase here.
This was as hard a reporting assignment as I've taken, I think, in 20 years. I quickly ended up down the rabbit hole, Gordon. You know, the idea was just to figure out who was advising Donald Trump, the Republican presidential frontrunner, on foreign policy. And it turned into this week-long quest.
What'd you come up with? I mean, are there actually official bodies on the staff, or is it people like sort of on loan for a few minutes or half a day or what?
Well, he's been talking now. He's been promising to lay out this slate of A-team experts, fantastic people who will advise him on foreign affairs. Frankly, I think that's a mistake on his part because his entire brand is that he's not the establishment. So the idea that he would roll out establishment names was never really going to do him any favors. What I found was an interesting blend of people who are one senator, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, Sessions' aide, Trump's chief policy advisor, Sam Clovis, who's a retired colonel in the Air Force. And then after that, it gets a little murky. I found an awful lot of people who would agree to tell me or tell others that they spoke to Donald Trump, but basically nobody would agree to say that they formally advised him or his campaign on foreign policy.
Interesting. We're speaking with Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's got a piece entitled, Trump's Foreign Policy Advisors Are Hard to Find. I get the sense to a certain extent that voters don't pay much attention to names that might be on staff. And furthermore, when it comes to Mr. Trump, his supporters, I think, definitely don't care. They're more about kind of the broader message, right, than a detail like that?
I think that's exactly right. I think that very few Trump voters, and to be honest, very few voters, will actually look down a list of foreign policy advisors and say, oh, okay, now I'm going to back the candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's unlikely. And in Trump's case, you know, he's not about lining up establishment figures to support him. He is about, you know, I'm going to build the wall and they're going to pay for it. You know, I'm going to pressure our allies to pay more for our deployments. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start a trade war with China. Stuff like that, which I would call, you know, ideas or personality. I guess you could put it under the rubric of judgment as well. But I don't know that he benefits from this very inside the beltway dance to enlist foreign policy advisors.
Mm. So is there any sort of deadline he might have to meet just for, I don't know, credibility purposes with anyone? Or is he just going to continue like this?
Well, I think you've hit on the most important point here, which is that Donald Trump doesn't need to name foreign policy advisors. Donald Trump has his own foreign policy brand. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has promised repeatedly to make public a list of foreign policy advisors beyond just the ones that he has.
Oh.
And so if you look at a guy who's making some pretty bold promises on the campaign trail, it might make sense to assess whether or not he keeps a fairly limited, easy-to-keep promise. And that's why I think he's in a bit of a bind, because he has said this now publicly repeatedly. And, you know, now he's going to be under pressure to make good.
Thanks, Olivier. Olivier Knox, Chief Washington Correspondent at Yahoo News. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Not for nothing, but I have my Twitter feed open right now.
Okay.
Jennifer Kashenka just called me out badly. I put up my final four picks.
Yeah.
She says, so wrong.
Wow.
And then comes back with her own.
You guys.
Wow.
Let me tell you. This is her favorite time of the year.
Oh, I mean,
she is fired up about this. The next couple of weeks, she's going to be in her glory.
She's absolute basketball junkie.
The rest of us not taking it nearly as seriously.
All right. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, some good news out of Ohio, Gordon. You might remember the story we did on the show a few months back about the house near Cleveland that had been pelted with eggs over 100 times in the span of a year. At the time, despite the exhaustive efforts by the homeowner named Albert Clemens and police, the identity of the egg tosser or tossers remained a mystery. Not anymore, however, as police have charged Clemens' former neighbor, Jason Kozan, with vandalizing the home between May 2014 and June 2015. The lengthy investigation included undercover stakeouts, neighborhood canvassing, and testing of eggshells at a crime lab.
Wow.
The newest CBS procedural crime show looks like coming up here.
Yeah.
Detectives haven't identified a motive for the eggings. Police say they largely stopped once Kozan moved away.
Oh, that tends to help.
That should have been your first clue, is that there was no more eggings after the neighbor moved away.
I suspect, though, that you would have an idea of who was doing this.
You would. He should have been the first suspect.
Right.
You would think. Neighbors always doing things to annoy each other. I know,
right.
You live in a neighborhood where everybody loves each other, but
yeah.
In other people's neighborhoods, you know, you leave the garbage cans out too long, or you
That's
make
right.
too much noise, too much racket in the backyard. People get upset about those
yeah.
kind of things.
Okay.
Who knows? And Gordon, police responded to Farmingdale State College on Long Island yesterday morning after a student was placed on lockdown for about a half hour as police responded to the call. However, when police found the man a short distance from campus, they found he was simply holding a toy lightsaber.
Oh, man.
When police
wow.
found the suspect did not have an actual weapon, Farmingdale students received an email ending the lockdown. No injuries were reported and no arrests were made. Now, it's been well documented on this program. Pretty much every day during December, we talked about how you're not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world.
Yes.
We know this for sure. But is there any chance that you, not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, would ever mistake a toy lightsaber for an actual weapon? You know, a large piece of red plastic or blue plastic, yeah. whatever color it is.
Boy.
How would anybody on Earth mistake that for a weapon of some kind? I know, again, we have to see something and say something.
Yeah.
But in this case, this seems a little odd.
You know, and it makes you wonder, like, I don't know, 25 years ago when you were in college, this would have never happened.
Well,
for sure. Would have never been made. You know,
right.
There's just a heightened sensitivity to this stuff right now, right or wrong.
So,
you know?
We have to always be vigilant, Gordon. Always be on alert.
See something, say something. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. It is just the start of the U.S. mosquito season, but companies that make bug spray are already running factories near capacity as they anticipate surging demand in response to the spread of the Zika virus. Because there is no Zika vaccine or treatment, bug repellent is one of the few weapons people have to protect themselves from mosquitoes. Pregnant women are particularly at risk, as you know, as the virus has been linked to serious birth defects in children born to infected mothers. The Wall Street Journal says SC Johnson & Son, which makes 600 cans a minute of the bug spray off, is now running a third shift at its factory in Wisconsin. Spectrum Brands Holdings, maker of Cutter and Repel brand products, says shipments to retailers are 3 times what they normally would be. Producers are taking their cues from retailers, of course, who are ordering repellent earlier and in larger quantities than usual. Target, for example, plans to put bug spray center stage in its spring lawn and garden displays. 8 minutes before the hour now on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Obama is imposing new sanctions against North Korea in response to recent illicit nuclear and ballistic missile tests. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the new unilateral sanctions will allow the U.S. to implement sanctions unanimously agreed to by the U.N. Security Council. Commuters in the nation's capital are returning to their regular routines today after an unprecedented day-long shutdown of the Washington subway system. Metro General Manager Paul Wiedefeld says inspections of 600 Third Rail power cables turned up lots of issues.
Since we began at midnight, Metro teams have identified 26 areas where damaged jumper cables and connector booths exist.
An electrical fire on the tracks Monday, similar to one that killed a passenger last year, raised the safety concerns. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl said he left a post in Afghanistan in 2009 to draw attention to what he saw as bad decisions by officers above him, according to documents released yesterday that also show he was diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder. Attorneys for Bergdahl, who faces charges, including desertion, say they released the documents to help counteract negative publicity over the case. Bergdahl told a general who investigated the case that he walked to a larger base in Afghanistan so he could have an audience with a top commander. More than a dozen U.S. military personnel have been disciplined but face no criminal charges for errors that led to the aerial attack on a civilian hospital that killed 42 people in northern Afghanistan last year. The punishments are largely administrative. Record-high floodwaters continue to swamp parts of Texas and Louisiana as the region's slow-motion disaster drifted farther downstream. Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
People need to remember about the possibility that the water could continue to rise for another day or two.
The swollen Sabine River, which lies on the boundary between the two states, crested late Tuesday at an all-time record 33.2 feet in swamped Deweyville, Texas. And Times Square will get filled with even more fuzzy, wacky creatures on Monday for World Puppetry Day. Professional and amateur puppeteers and their puppets are invited for the celebration, joined by puppets from other Broadway and off-Broadway shows, past and present.
Oh. Just what we need, more weirdos in Times Square.
One place to avoid on Monday.
Right.
Stay away.
Right, because you got all those alleged groping characters and all that stuff. Right now you got
Cookie Monster.
Who knows, all these nutty puppets. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. A mountaineer from Olympic Valley, California, near Tahoe, is planning to climb Mount Everest this spring without using supplemental oxygen. Adrian Bollinger, who's 40, has been a climber and guide for 20 years, made it to the top of Everest 6 times before, but with extra oxygen. How hard is this? The Reno Gazette Journal, profiling Mr. Bollinger, says at 26,000 feet in elevation, each breath a human takes includes only about 30% of the oxygen they would take in at sea level. The hazards include greater susceptibility to frostbite because of reduced blood flow to extremities, plus reduced mental clarity. One professional climber described it like this: expect an elephant putting a foot on your chest and slowly applying added pressure, he said. You are just fighting for every breath. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
We've been talking a lot about the Great Courses, and now they're offering something new, the Great Courses Plus video learning service. So instead of just trying to pick one course, you have unlimited access to a huge library of the Great Courses lecture series and so many fascinating subjects. Whatever your interest is, they have one. Maybe it's science, history, or even cooking. You can watch full courses start to finish or just select specific lectures. The Great Courses Plus has nearly 5,000 different video lectures taught by top award-winning professors. You can watch these great video lectures from the Great Courses Plus at any time from anywhere on your TV, laptop, tablet, or smartphone. Just for a limited time, though, the Great Courses Plus is offering This Morning listeners a great offer to get you started. Unlimited access to the entire The Great Courses Plus library, completely free for 1 month. All of these fantastic courses available to you free for 1 month. You'll love it. Get started today with this great offer. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. Remember the plus. thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal.